able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to me this morning. That is a confession of faith, that as we make it, we're believing that the Lord hears us. And there's some things as a people of God that we must remember, we must look at, is, and we've been talking about this now for a number of weeks, and one of them is that things are not always the way they seem. As we want to make a difference in the world, probably, or we just want to walk through life and just know the blessing of living on earth, there are some things we must understand, and one of them is things are not always the way they seem. And even as we go out our wake up in the morning and go out our doors and go to work or go and buy things for the Christmas season and just enjoy life in general, we can say, wow, earth is a great place to live in. Wonderful things are happening on the earth. But things are not always the way they seem. If we were to go over to Syria today, and you know, we have an understanding of how much they're suffering and what's going on there, then we recognize that things are not always the way they seem. And it's important for us to notice that, because if we don't recognize that, if we don't understand that, we'll make little of what God says in His Word. Because there's some things in God says that of what God says in His Word that we can't necessarily get a handle on, but we must remember things are not always the way they seem, so maybe God knows better than you or I. So when you read things in His Word, we can have an understanding that what's being said there is comes from a place of knowing all things. And so we're much quicker to obey. For instance, the Bible says that Jesus declared that you are more blessed when you give than when you receive. We just say, well, I don't know how I could possibly be more blessed when I give than when I receive. I think I'd be more blessed if I was on the receiving end. Well, that's not really what the Bible says. The Bible says just totally contrary. So the way we see things are not always the way things really are. The next thing is that we have to understand that we are as believers in this world, we are at war. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. So we are involved in a war against what the Bible calls the principalities and powers, the spiritual rulers of darkness in this age. So there is a warfare going on, whether we realize it or not. And the third thing that we talked about was the fact that you and I have a crucial part to play while we are here on earth. We have not just been placed here just to fill in some time. We have a specific calling, something to release that we carry in this earth. And one of the things that we have authority to do, really, is to be able to release the fact this time of year that we are able to declare peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We are able to demonstrate that to those around us. So we play a crucial part in the whole scheme and plan and purpose of God on this earth. So we must be careful to make sure that we hang on to those things. Number one, things are not always the way they seem. Number two, that we are at war. Number three, you have a crucial part to play. I have a crucial part to play. Because as we move forward in seeing God's plan unfold for the earth, we will also begin to see God's plan for us individually. God's purpose for us individually. God has a purpose for you while you're here. God has something that He has put on the inside of you that nobody else has in all this planet, on this whole planet, 8 billion people now on the planet, and God has put something very unique on the inside of you, a characteristic of Himself that He wants to display through you. You're special. You're called of God. You are a special person today. You're just not one in the crowd when it comes to God. You are special. Why? Because God has His hand upon you. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And if you'll yield toward God and recognize that you belong to Him, you will begin to see that plan unfold. And you'll recognize, you'll begin doing some things, and you'll think, oh, wow, this is what I've been created for. This is the reason why I'm on this planet, is because of what I'm doing now. God has a special purpose for you. You have a crucial part to play in the big plan of God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss the big plan that God has for you. Now you might say, well, Pastor, don't really have any connection with God. I don't really have a sense that He's calling me to anything. Well, maybe that's because we don't have a good understanding of what the Word of God actually tells us about God, or even we don't even have any knowledge of God in His Word. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is piercing even to the soul and the spirit. In other words, the Word of God is so powerful that it can divide the soul and the spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So as we read the Word of God, we can begin to understand what God is like and my relationship with God. If we refuse to understand and refuse to read the Word of God, then we are closing off to us a part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives that will reveal to us the thoughts and intents of our heart. Well, the thoughts and intents of our heart could contain the very reason why you're here. Because God has placed something in that particular area of your life that He wants to reveal. So the Word of God is absolutely powerful in trying to understand who you are, who you belong to. People join all kinds of clubs or different groups for many different reasons. But one primary reason that people join groups is because they want to belong to something. They want to feel like they have a sense of belonging. And it can even be a biker gang. We've heard recently that the Hells Angels, the biker gang moved into Charlottetown. So we have to pray that what they plan to do will be, foiled, that God will do something to get them out of here. But people will join something like that because they have a sense of camaraderie, have a sense of belonging, a sense of family, if you will. Now, it may be a pretty dysfunctional family, but at least it's something that they can belong to. People must ask themselves, who do I belong to? What is the reason why I'm here? And the Word of God can help us to understand that. The Word of God can help us to understand whom we belong to. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so it's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually the Bible talks about Jesus is actually the Word. So if we want to get to know God, the greatest example that we ever have, that have ever walked this earth, is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to know who we belong to as Christians, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen God. So that is an awesome way to get to know God, to get to know who we belong to, if we've given our lives to Him. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. Do you know that you have been created to be a conduit for the life of God to continually flow through you? You have been created for God's power to continually flow through you. You have been created to live a life where you are in connection with God, that His Spirit flowing through you is like the very breath the air that you breathe. You are to be connected with Him. And He said, my words are spirit and they are life. So as you read the words of Jesus, you are actually receiving life. Actually, the New Century Version of that verse says, the words I told you are spirit and they give life. They give life. Have you ever do you ever feel that you've lost the zest of life? Have you ever feel that there's one time you had a lot of zest for life, maybe when you were younger, and that you just felt that you could do anything, that you could accomplish anything, but somehow it just got drained out of you? Well, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they give life. And the way to get that back is get into the words of Jesus. Allow His words to penetrate your spirit and let it wash over your spirit, and you'll begin again to have that zest of life, that knowing who you belong to. You know, we can draw life from someone or something, and we must be careful what we draw life from. You know, if I draw life from playing golf, and I don't play golf, and I have a few times in my life, but I'm not a golfer. But if I became a golfer and suddenly this is where I felt like I had the greatest happiness, the greatest joy, the greatest sense of worth when I'm playing golf. And made my life, you know, I go there every chance I got. Then I'm drawing life from that. And as long as I draw life from that, I am holding off the life that God has for me. I have to make sure that what I'm drawing life from is something that is worthy of my worship. It's something that is worthy of me giving myself to. Because that's what I'm going to end up with when I leave this place. Whatever I worship here on earth, whatever I draw life from here on earth, will determine my situation whenever I leave this earth. So today, we must think of that. What am I drawing life from? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And we have to serve somebody. And when we ask the question, who do we belong to? We could also ask the question, who are we serving? Bob Dylan, many years ago, wrote a song. And the song went, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. He said, it may be the Lord or it may be the devil, but you got to serve somebody. We just can't go through this earth without an understanding of we got to serve somebody. And maybe we think, well, we're just an individual. I'm a man, so I'm not serving anybody. I'm serving myself. That's what I'm doing. I'm serving myself. Well, you have never been designed to serve yourself. You have been created to worship someone. There is something on the inside of you that demands worship. There's something on the inside of you that causes you to come together, even as a people on a Sunday morning, gathered together. Maybe you have been invited here, but you've come and somebody invited you and you came together. And the reason that we do that sort of thing is because often there is something on the inside of us that we know there's a God-created part of us on the inside that gives us a knowledge that it's important to come together to worship something that is greater than ourselves. Something that is greater than what we have been experiencing up to this point in life. You got to serve somebody. We cannot fool ourselves and suggest that we only are serving ourselves. Because as long as you're serving yourself, you are keeping out God. God is not going to come and wait for you and just sit on the sidelines and watch you do whatever you do without Him. That's not the way He works. He's there for a purpose. He's there to connect with us. And God wants you to evaluate your connection today. I don't care whether you're in church on Sunday morning or on the job on Monday morning. God wants a connection with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to know you. He wants to impart life to you when it comes to Sunday morning and you have to go to that job that you're not particularly crazy about. He wants to impart life to you so that you will experience the joy that he came to give us. Now, John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep, he says, not somebody else's sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The Bible gives us some direction of what we must do in order to hear the voice of God. If we were to read the book of Malachi, Malachi was the last book in the Old Testament. And that gives us an indication of what life was like in the nation of Israel at that particular time. And after the book of Malachi, there's silence for 400 years before Jesus comes. After the book of Malachi, it seemed like God wasn't there for 400 years. And then Jesus came on the scene. One of the things that the book of Malachi can do, it's important for us to go and read that book of Malachi. It's not long, it's only four chapters. You can read it pretty quickly. And as you read it, you get to be able to get an environment of what people were acting like that drove God to become silent. It stopped God's voice. That particular area, that lifestyle stopped God from speaking. And if we were to look at it, we would see that the nation of Israel at that time started living life without God. They started, they were going through the rituals all right, but they were bringing animals to sacrifice that were maimed and lame, and they were supposed to bring their best. They wouldn't bring the tithes and offerings to the Lord. They started treating each other in a very ungodly way. And it seems after that, God gave them warning. After that, he was silent until Jesus came on the scene. And Jesus wants to come in the scene of your life today. And maybe you know Jesus already, but he wants to come in a greater way. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said no one comes to him unless the Father draws him. Maybe you just know about Jesus this morning. Well, the Father wants to draw you closer to Jesus today. The Father wants to draw you into a relationship with him so that you'll be able to receive life from the Son. That's an exciting thing. It's exciting to know that I don't have to go through this life alone. That Jesus, the one who has died for me, has paid the price so I can have a relationship with him. And one of the primary ways that we walk into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is to walk into his word, is to read his wonderful word, to get to know him through his word, and the Holy Spirit will reveal himself through his word. John 8:31 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you are my disciples. If you abide in me, in my word, you are my disciples. John 8:51, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Jesus said that word, he spoke that in the context of what God spoke when he told Adam and Eve, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, then the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Now, what was he talking about? Because when Adam and Eve sinned, as we know, if we know the Bible at all, we realize that they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. They became separated from God. And Jesus said in the same way, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. In other words, he shall never be separated from God. I believe that one of the most terrible things about the place that the Bible calls hell is that you are separated from God. You are eternally separated from the God who created you. I believe that will be one of the most torturous things of knowing that you could have had a relationship with God, but you became separated from him. I believe that will be worse than all the torment that we read about in hell, about hell. And the Bible speaks about that very, very clearly. But Jesus used this speech. He said, if you keep my words, not if you read my words, not if you memorize my words, but if you keep my words. In other words, you do what his word tells you to do. You shall never taste death. You will never be separated from the God of the universe. You'll never be separated from your creator. Now, I want us to stop and think about that just for a moment, because I want us to think about something that's bigger than ourselves. I want us to have an understanding that when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the life that flows from the Word of God, that you have a responsibility, you have a part to play, not only of the life, that the life of God would flow into you by reading His Word, but you have an awesome responsibility to be able to teach your children how important and valuable the Word of God is so that they might never be separated from their Creator. Maybe you don't have a hoot about your relationship with God right now, but think of your children, think of your grandchildren, and take the responsibility that you have in making sure that you do everything that you can do to see that they are brought up in the instruction and admonition of the Lord so that they might follow him all the days of their life. Because they are entering into a world that you and I know nothing about. Things are changing so fast that we must be able to call on God to have an understanding of where we're going, where the world is going, and that our children must be equipped to head into it. And there's no greater equipment than having the Word of God imparted to them, and that they might understand that the Word of God can give them life, and they continue to grow in life, being driven by the Word over and over again. The Word can give you life. It can change your life. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last at the last day. He said, no one. Has the Father drawn you to Jesus? No one comes to me unless the Father draws him. Has the Father drawn you to Jesus? Well, I know that the Father has drawn me to Jesus. I know that the Holy Spirit, God used the Holy Spirit to draw me to Jesus. But every day I look to be drawn closer. Every day I look to be drawn closer to Jesus. Every day I look for the activity of the Father by the Holy Spirit to be moved in my life to draw me closer to Him. Because the Bible says that we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. In other words, if Jesus was in your shoes today, how would He act? How would He act? When you go into the office in the morning at work and you go in there, how would Jesus act? Would you be hanging your head because it's Monday morning? Or would Jesus be like that? Or would he have His eyes fixed on things above and not on the earth, recognizing that He has an awesome future? It's a great day for Him. The Bible says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He endured everything that was before Him because of the joy that was set before Him. If we keep our eyes fixed on things above, things of heaven, the joy that is set before us will cause us to go through life in a happy state, because our eyes will be fixed on that which is to come, not maybe some of the present mundane things that we look at today. No, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured everything that He had to go through. And He's our greatest example. Praise God. So ask yourself, has the Father drawn you to Jesus? Are you open to the Father drawing you to Jesus? Jesus said that when He was on earth, He said, when I leave here, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to ask Him, and He's going to send to you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He's going to send to you the one who can speak to you and bring revelation, reveal all things to you that you need to know and understand about Me, so that you can walk on this earth as a believer, as a kingdom citizen upon the earth. He said, I'm going, I'm leaving here, but I'm going to ask the Father. And He's going to do something for you so that you don't have to ever feel alone, that ever feel like you're an orphan. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and He's going to be with you, and He's going to be your intimate friend, and He's going to be drawing you to Me, Jesus said, all the time. He's going to be doing that. And you and I have this opportunity to allow Him to draw us to Jesus, or we can hold Him back. Who do we belong to? Jesus said, Holy Spirit was coming, Father's going to use Him to draw you to Me. And so we belong to, really, when we look at it, we belong to the Father, we belong to the Spirit, we belong to the Son. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's who we belong to as we are believers in Christ. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, what happens? Who do I belong to if I'm not a Christian? Who do I belong to if I think Jesus was a fraud? If I think Jesus, the things that He said was just some propaganda that He was using to get a crowd. Because either Jesus was exactly who He claimed to be, or He was the biggest fraud that ever walked the earth. And if you know anything, not about necessarily about the Bible, but about history, the historic context about Jesus coming and suffering and dying and all the rest of it, and the validity, the importance of the Scriptures, the credibility of the Scriptures. If you understood the credibility of the Scriptures, there's no other book in history is as credible as the Scriptures. And it's proven scientifically. What I mean by that is that what was written down thousands of years ago is still saying the same thing today. Hasn't been altered. Hasn't been altered. But what if we don't give any credit to that? Who do we belong to? Well, if we read the Scriptures, we see Jesus answered that question very clearly. Now think about this. Jesus is doing some teaching upon the earth, and some of the religious people came to Him. Very devout people. Some of the most religious people in society. They were called Pharisees and Sadducees. They were the hierarchy of the Hebrew people. They were the elders of the church, if you will, or even higher than that, bishops, and we look at them that way. And they came to challenge Jesus one day. And they said, who are you talking about, your father? We all have one father. And, you talk about God being your father and Abraham being your father. And that who We're not illegitimate children. He's the same Father we have. And Jesus said this to them, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, you are of your father, the devil. Talk about being politically correct. You are of your father, the devil. He looked them straight in the eye and he said it just as clear as he possibly could. You are of your father, the devil. And why was he saying that? He's because you will not receive the Messiah who is standing before you right now. You will not receive his words. You will not receive what he has come to give. Therefore, you are of your father, the devil, and you are a liar just like him. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And he told it to them as just as straight as he possibly could. Now, I know that's not, you know, kind of language and preaching that could get somebody all up and happy and make them feel good, but it's reality. That's what Jesus said. And I want you to know that as a church, we believe the words of Jesus. I believe Jesus is who he said he was. I believe I'd give my life knowing that Jesus is exactly who he said he was. And he meant what he said. The scriptures are very, very clear. Who do you belong to today? You cannot be in a place of neutral. You can't say, well, I don't believe belong to God and I don't belong to the devil. That's not what the Bible teaches. Got to serve somebody. Even Bob Dylan had enough sense to know that. You got to serve somebody. It may be the Lord or it may be the devil, but you got to serve somebody. Now, you see, when we look upon these things, we have an understanding that Jesus came as a babe in a manger the first time. And he came to be a suffering servant. He came to give you and I life, and life more abundantly. He came that the world might have an opportunity to experience redemption. And we do some funny things sometimes around Christmas time. Really, when you think about it, we take Jesus and we put him in a manger sometime. We put him in a babe in a manger and, you know, we have all kinds of things. I was brought up in that tradition where you'd even kneel down around the manger and so forth and you would kind of look upon this babe in a manger. And you'd be celebrating Jesus' birthday. And in a way, it is kind of silly. Jesus is not in the manger anymore. Because, you know, if you were celebrating my birthday, and okay, it's Pastor Bill's birthday on this date, and we got to celebrate Pastor Bill's birthday. And so you wouldn't come and put a baby in a manger or put a baby in a crib or put a baby in a bed somewhere and come around, this is Pastor Bill. No, I'm not a baby anymore. Jesus is not a baby anymore. And although he's the Savior of the world right now, there's a day coming when he comes back. He's not coming as a Savior, but he's coming back as a judge of the world. He's coming back, the Bible says, on a white horse. The armies of heaven will follow after him. And out of his mouth will go a sharp two-edged sword in which he does strike the nations. He's not coming back as a babe in a manger. He's coming back as King of kings and Lord of lords. And all those who have called upon his name will rejoice, exceedingly glad. They'll be filled with joy because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is returning. The one that we've been looking for, countless ages have passed, and people have been looking for the coming King coming again in order to set up his rule and reign upon the earth. And there's a day coming that will happen. And all those who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation will come and rule and reign with him, and the glory of God will be revealed all over the earth. Praise God. It's something that we can be rejoicing about today if we've called upon his name. Glory to God. We have an awesome, awesome future. We must not waste the time while we're down here dabbling on things that don't matter. Set your mind on things above, the Bible says, not on things upon the earth. Be looking at what's coming. Have a great anticipation of what's coming. I hope you know him today. I hope you know who you belong to. I hope you see yourself as belonging to the right person. Why don't you stand with me, please? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, who labor and are heavy laden. Going through this life can be a laborious task. There can be so many difficult things that we go through in life. It can be laborious. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor." You who are laboring for just for the things of this world, he says, "Come to me. Take my yoke upon you." In other words, get hooked up with me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, there's something I want us to understand here. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Comparing to the things of this world and the heaviness of the yoke of this world, my yoke, Jesus said, is easy. My yoke is light. But it's still a yoke. When I talk about salvation in Jesus Christ and somebody coming to Jesus, I'm not talking about you're going to have a bed of roses from here on in. If you come to Christ, most of you would know that you come to Christ, there are things that happened when you came to Christ that you couldn't do that you did before. And some of the people around you even spoke against you because of your determination to follow Jesus. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. But the persecution that comes upon us because of that we follow Jesus, because we've declared that we're going to live for Him, is nothing compared to the heaviness that comes from following the principles of this world. I want us to just take a moment for Him and just ask yourself right now. Just get alone, close your eyes for a moment, if that's the best way that you know of to connect with God. Just ask yourself, who do I belong to? Who is the one that I've given my life for? Who is the one that I is worth giving my life to today? Who is the one who is worth my worship? Father, I pray right now that you speak to each and every one in this place. Let them know that the Holy Spirit is drawing them to Jesus right now. Lord, I pray, God, that you would lead us to reach out to you, that Jesus Christ might become Lord and Savior of every single one in this place, I pray, in the name of Jesus. We confess, dear God, that we've missed it, that we need a Savior today, and we see Jesus as that Savior, and we open our eyes to Him today. We open our hearts to Him, that we might be drawn closer to Him now, so that you, God, might be our Father. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We recognize Jesus as the Lord and Savior that we need. Help us to embrace Him now, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Embracing Jesus, there's nothing like it. And there's something about coming together as a body of believers. In the New Testament, just as the church was getting established, it seems that they came together to break bread, and it seemed like there was an expectation, of the greatest presence of God being there. And really, they were coming together many times to enjoy a meal. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to enjoy a meal together. Even in the midst of that, I want you to know Jesus is present. Jesus is there as we enjoy. You see, Jesus is not a hard taskmaster. He loves it when His children get along together and enjoy good things. They embrace one another. They enjoy a good meal together. That's what we're about to do. So it's a reason to rejoice. And I think that you need to send us out with that song.